A Prime Time with Clarissa Montero replay from Money FM 89.3. Coffee with Clarissa on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Clarissa Montero. In the studio with me, an interesting pair of people. Now, the M1 Fringe Festival serves as a platform for meaningful and provocative art aimed to engage our increasingly connected and complex world. In its 15th installment, it is an annual festival showcasing contemporary, cutting-edge and socially engaged theatre, dance and visual arts. Created and presented by Singaporeans and international artists, this year's lineup is curated around the theme Still Waters. Still Waters houses a series of festival programs built around Singaporean artworks by leading local artists. Here to tell us more about it, in fact, to tell us all about it, is Mr. Sean Tobin, Artistic Director for M1 Singapore Fringe Festival 2019. And we also have a playwright, Ms. Nabila Said, for Uncut, a definitive alternative reclaimed narrative of a native. Welcome to you both. We're going to start with Sean. You've been the Artistic Director for the M1 Singapore Fringe Festival since 2015.
That's right.
I could ask you about this year's lineup, but I actually want to ask you how it's changed over the years for you.
Well, one thing that's interesting about it compared to when I first started is that we've always had a thematic festival, yeah, because we kind of create some cohesion about the whole experience. But this is our second year thematically connecting to an existing Singaporean artwork. So the name Still Waters comes from a really important performance artwork that was done by Suzanne Victor in 1997.
Right.
And so the artists locally and internationally are invited to respond to that. So I think, seeing the festival as more of a lively, dynamic conversation about pressing issues, you know, is something that we're seeing more and more of. And more connection, I think, between local artists and international artists as well.
Okay, yeah. There is actually a lot of interaction now. I've interviewed other artists, I've interviewed other art groups, and they've all said the same thing. It's like, you know, Singapore is very small. We can't just be very insular. We've got to connect with the outside world. We've got to connect with other artists.
That's right.
And so the more there is a flow and exchange of information, everybody gets better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So are you going to be seeing more and more of that? As the viewer,
yes,
you see more and more
of
that?
I mean, hopefully, you know, in time, you'll start to see some of these artists collaborating with each other and co-creating shows, which is something that does happen in Singapore, but it could happen a lot more. We'll often pair up artists. So, like, you know, after Nabila's show, she'll have an artist from another show interviewing her about the process, and seeing them have that conversation, it makes the experience richer.
Okay, yeah. So we bring Nabila into the conversation. That's a very, very long title. Uncut, a definitive, alternative, reclaimed narrative of a native. Yeah. Unpack it for us.
Yes, I was just going to say, I need to unpack it for you. So there's two parts to the title, basically. And as a shorthand, we just call it Uncut, because the starting point for the play was to look at the idea of Anna Uncut, which means the adopted child, which obviously happens in like all families all around the world. But in terms of like where I'm coming from, which is from a Malay background, Anna Uncut, which is in Malay, it's actually referring to more of an informal process of adoption, where, you know, there were no like paperwork being done. It was more like an understanding that you would
have. But this is very much in the community.
Yeah. It would happen
in the
community.
You've got more money, I'll help you out. Yeah. I'll take your kid into my family. You've got too many, I don't have enough, you know.
Exactly. And it was so much more, it seemed so much more organic last time as well.
Sure.
And it was very prevalent in like my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation. And I wanted to look at like, put a story that was based on today's current like current topics and contemporary kind of issues, but to look at a woman who's like in her 20s, who happens to be British born, but she's adopted into a Malay family.
Sure.
So she has like a dual identity, and because she wants to be a singer, she joins a singing competition where things start to play out in more like on racial lines. So that's when like things kind of get dramatic, I suppose. And the other side of the play and the other part of the title actually comes from me looking at different episodes of Singapore's history and kind of recasting them in a new playful light. Mm. So that's why it's also called a definitive alternative reclaimed narrative of a native. So the idea is who gets to tell their stories and whose history gets to be told as we move on into a new generation. So yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to have to ask a question.
Sure.
Did the person inspire this or a series of events, or did you just pluck this out of observation of the past?
I think it comes from a composite of different things. Mm-hmm. So my mother was adopted as well. Mm-hmm. She came from a family. I know, you got it. But my mother came from a family of like 16 siblings. Mm-hmm. And she was given away to a family that couldn't have children, right? And she found out she was adopted in like, you know, one of these like crazy ways where an uncle would visit her and she would think it was like an annoying uncle. It turned out to be a real father. So maybe it came from there. But also it's also a composite of like different things that happened. And also the idea of being adopted, maybe you start from one point of origin, but then you end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. In my play, I also look at the mother's character, and she was a former islander of Pulau Berani, and mm-hmm. then she has to move to the mainland. So that, to me, is a kind of like displacement that happens to the mother, even though she's not adopted, but that kind of adoption relationship where you are brought to a new place and you have to deal with a dual identity is looked at as well. So
sure.
Adoption kind of takes on a bigger kind of definition and scope, I think.
We were just talking to Ms. Nabila Said, playwright for Angkat, a definitive alternative reclaimed narrative of a native. And we're also talking to Sean Tobin, artistic director for M1 Singapore Fringe Festival 2019. Okay, so you were trying to explain to me, Sean, that the theme this year is Still Waters, which was a performance art piece from the 90s, you said.
Yeah, 97.
Okay, so tell us more about the rest of the lineup.
So people responded to different aspects to Suzanne Victor's performance. So a lot of the pieces are kind of looking at responding to history and how we can relook at history in different ways. And we have to keep relooking it. We can't just forget it. And there's different ways to tell it. And there isn't one single view on history. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the plays, they deal with different central issues, but that is one of the framing pictures, which is how do we relook at what's already happened? Some of the works in particular start to look at mental health or trauma. Mm-hmm. So it goes into a very, very specific and delicate theme. So Above the Mealy-Mouth Sea, for example, a piece from UK, she's kind of trying to retell something that's very difficult and struggles to retell that history. She struggles to even find the words to tell it. And she tells it through poetry and the dubbing of her voice and through folk songs. So there's quite a range. The work in the Fringe is half international work and half local work. Mm-hmm. It's usually smaller, intimate work, and it's usually artists who are kind of trying to do something new mm-hmm. with their career, or they're relatively new in their career, or they're kind of mid career, but they do more independent experimental work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That leads me to my next question quite beautifully.
Mm.
The challenges. I mean, the thing is, the Fringe Festival can be a little bit more provocative. Mm. You can be more experimental than an arts festival.
Mm.
But I'm sure that means there are also unique challenges.
Yes. When we usually get about a... Because we do an open call for the Fringe Festival. So we do approach artists and encourage particular artists from year to year to submit work. And we commission work. But you end up with about 150 proposals from Singapore and all over the world. So when you start to narrow down and you want a program of, say, 15 to 20 performances and installations, etc., it's not only about having, you know, 15 or so works that in and of themselves are interesting, but how do you create a program that feels like it's a very exciting conversation where different shows are talking and responding to each other? And how do you make sure they're not all too much of the same thing? Because they're responding to a theme.
Right.
You could easily have 15 very depressing shows all about the same thing.
All about depression.
Yeah. And also you need different, some works that are a little bit more confronting and some that are a little gentler, some that are more hilarious, some that are more accessible.
Yeah, tension and release.
And because different people have different tastes.
Yeah.
And I think Fringe works are shorter. And they're very affordable. So Fringe is a great time for people that want to kind of watch two or three things. It's a good time to test yourself a little and watch something you might not usually watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, we are talking to Sean Tobin, Artistic Director for M1 Singapore Fringe Festival 2019 and Nabila Said, playwright for Uncut, a definitive alternative reclaimed narrative of a native, which is one of the plays from the M1 Singapore Fringe Festival this year. Okay, now I've asked Sean about his challenges. Now, Nabila, tell us about the unique challenges of being a playwright.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you asked that because for Uncut, I'm also the producer for the piece.
Because being a playwright wasn't hard enough.
Yeah, I needed some new challenge. But basically being a playwright, I've realized at the start of it, I always thought that playwriting was like a really solitary effort. Mm-hmm. Like you think you're at home writing it and then once you're finished, you're done and you give it off to a director and then that's it. Mm-hmm. But I'm realizing that it's so much more richer when myself as the playwright, I'm in the rehearsal room and seeing how the actors and the directors are reacting to these lines. And if something doesn't work, like, can I do something? Like, it doesn't have to be a criticism of the writing, mm-hmm. but a more of a question of how can I tell the story better? So it becomes a lot more of a collaborative effort. And so to me, like, I enjoy that process because when you're at home alone, you can drive yourself crazy with, like, you know, feeling about, like, what people might think about it. But when you open up the thing a bit more, then you start feeling less precious about the work as well. And you start looking at it as a team effort that you can work together and, like, solve, you know, problems as and when they come. But it becomes much more, just easier to work on, I suppose.
But was it difficult at some point? Because, you know, as a playwright, okay, I mean, I'm a creative person as well, yeah. but I'm also a producer. So I understand this. So from that creative point of view, everything that you do creatively is sort of like an ulam, you know?
Yeah.
but then when you go into a production or you're directing, then it becomes a case of you have to be hypercritical about it. And other people, and you're encouraging other people to be hypercritical about that. So was it difficult, though, emotionally to sort of step away from the creative process of writing it?
Yeah.
And letting it organically develop into something else that you might not have envisioned as you were writing it.
Yeah. I think how I tried to process it is that you just have to step back at some point, because if you're going to agonize about every little thing, then you're just going to, like, you know, basically drive yourself mad. Because for myself, I'm a very insecure writer. So as it is, if I don't draw a line and be like, okay, this is what it is, and now that we're in the rehearsal room, we'll think about problems in a bigger way and not just a playwright's problem that I have to deal with on my own, then I start to feel like it's much easier to deal with. But at the same time, like I said, I'm always questioning myself. So I'm always, even when an actor is delivering a line, and if the actor has a problem with delivering that line, I'll be like, oh my god, what, you know, can I do something that can make it easier for them, or is it really just the actor and the director's job to kind of try and work this out? And sometimes it's really nice when they're like, okay, we're not going to change the line, so we are going to talk about how we can do things in other ways, because theatre is not just about the script. The script is just on the paper. There's so many things, other elements that make the play. And so to me, that's much more enriching and less stressful for myself.
Okay. So you were able to juggle being the creative force behind it as well as being the producer of it. That's interesting. I still struggle with that.
Yeah.
So I can relate to some of that. We go back to Sean. 15th installment, which means it's been around for a while.
Yep.
And there is always an expectation next year it's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, it's going to be more provocative. After 15 installments, that means 15 years. How much more provocative can you be?
Oh, gosh. Not too much in sunny Singapore. I don't think we don't pressure ourselves. I think in a festival like ours, where we're trying to focus on being true to contemporary art making and having work that really just speaks to our time. And I think we don't stress ourselves to be bigger and better. You know, like we have a show in the Fringe, which, you know, you only allows 20 people in it, for example. Right. So a lot of it's about intimacy and the quality of experience. Of course, we want the houses full, you know, because we want people to see this hard work that people have done. I wouldn't say it's about bigger and better. I would say it's about just making sure we're current with our times.
Sure.
And that we're celebrating the best of what's happening locally, and that we're getting to see works from overseas that otherwise wouldn't come here.
Right.
Yeah. Because usually when we get in foreign work, it's kind of big blockbuster stuff, whereas we're kind of bringing people that other people otherwise don't know about. Yeah.
Which is a challenge in and of itself.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay, so you already have a theme for next year.
Mm.
So looking ahead, because I know you, these things are planned a year in advance.
Yes.
Next year's theme is, I can't even say that. Next year's theme, there you go.
You did well.
Is My Country and My People. What can we expect from that?
Okay, so fun fact, it only just hit me on the way here, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a poem by one of our most revered poets, Li Zupeng.
Okay.
One of the things that's most exciting about that poem is banned from performance on radio. And I realized, but this was a very long time ago. I thought I should have brought the poem today and performed it on radio for you. I doubt, no one knows whether it is still banned. And if
I
you read it
you
now,
you need to ask MGA.
Yes, I don't even know if they know. But anyway, I'm not so sure. But it essentially looks at a lot of things. She was responding at the time to being a new country and the fact that we're developing so fast and this kind of identity crisis. On one hand, we have the baggage of being post-colonial.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, we have, we're trying really fast to be very ambitious and build ourselves up. And you know, some of us get lost in the process. It's very easy to lose your roots and your identity.
Sure.
So obviously there's going to be works from Singapore and from all around the world. And I think national identity versus individual identity is a really hot topic everywhere. You know, there's a lot of talk about extremism and there's a lot of left wing and right wing and people are getting more and more polarized everywhere.
And more vocal,
Yes, and countries are trying to break away from other countries and, you know, or disappearing or renaming themselves or fighting independence. This kind of theme is always going to be interesting.
Sure.
Who knows? We're still waiting.
It could be.
But it'll be interesting to see how different countries aligned together kind of talk about the process of identity and
so you're still in the process of putting it together.
In fact,
now
still
that you have a theme.
That's right. We have the theme and the open call closes in March. So there's still time for people locally and internationally to apply for that. Yeah.
So Nabila, are you going to be writing a play that requires a paragraph of a title?
No. It depends on the work, I suppose. I have another work in the festival, actually, with a shorter title.
Okay.
Yes.
It's called Yesterday It Rained Salt.
So it's slightly shorter.
Slightly shorter, which is like a poetic exploration of a father-son relationship where they meet to go on sea, on a journey on sea, and they have a fraught relationship. So on sea, they have to deal with like all these things that they haven't talked about for years. So Yesterday It Rained Salt. Nice short snappy title.
There you go.
Yes, there we go.
Okay, and before I let you go, tell us exactly when the festival runs.
This week, from this Wednesday, 16th to 27th of January.
Okay.
Tickets available at SISTIC. Many of the shows are sold out, but so if you need to grab a ticket, you need to grab it fast.
All right. Thank you so much, Sean Tobin, Artistic Director for the M1 Singapore Fringe Festival 2019, and Amila Syed, playwright for Uncut, a definitive alternative reclaimed narrative of a native.
Yes.
I did it.
You did it without a breath in the middle.
Thank you so much for coming in and
thank
talking
you for
to
having us.
Thank you.
On Money FM 89.3. Mm-hmm.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.